Welcome to this podcast from the Fusion Gathering at Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. The speaker of this session is Clive Urquhart.
Great. I'll try not to ruin the atmosphere this afternoon. Brilliant. Do you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 40? And we'll... I was going to do something else, but I kind of just feel we should look at this. And I haven't so much got to preach, really. I just feel we need to look through a few verses and then just see where we go from there, really, in terms of what God wants to do or say. Is that okay? Brilliant. Now, just bear with me for the first however long this takes. I was going to say a few minutes, but you know what it's like? Could take 45, but... Because some of this stuff will be obvious, and you think, well, that's what God's been saying. But I just kind of believe God wants to encourage you and maybe bring one or two things out from these verses. So, Isaiah chapter 40, right from the start here. It says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Scarborough and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for." Let's just go over the page, verse, or depends what your Bible is, but mine's over the page, verse 3. A voice of one calling, "In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Just if we go through some of these verses just for a few minutes. First verse of the chapter, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." Jesus was pretty tough on the religious people, but always showed mercy and compassion to the lost. He never pointed his finger or accused people for where they were at, because they didn't know anything else. They didn't know any better in that respect. And so he knew they needed God's mercy. And God's mercy is expressed through compassion. And for the people of Scarborough, they don't need to know that God is angry with them, upset with them, or cheesed off with them. They need to encounter the God of mercy. And I know you've got a heart for the town, and you know you can feel it and hear it, you know, every time we're up here, just because of what you're doing, how you speak about the place, the excitement there is. There's always, whenever we come up here, there's always things that have changed. You're doing more. There's more stories of what God's doing. But the heart, as we're looking at here, is to bring comfort, or to bring healing or wholeness to people that aren't living in it or don't have it. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. So we're going with this heart of compassion, and we're going with this dynamic of love, this mercy and compassion. But then it says, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin is atoned for. Now we know that, but they don't know that. And therefore, for us, when we come to those that don't know Jesus, we're coming as God's representatives. We're coming as God's ambassadors. So therefore, we're coming with mercy and with compassion. That's how God met with each one of us. The first aspect of God's love that you and I encountered was his mercy. Because we needed his mercy. We didn't need his judgment. Because if we had his judgment, then we wouldn't be here. But God's way of judging sin was to deal with it through Jesus, so that his mercy could be shown to us. And as he's shown his mercy to us and been merciful, full of mercy. So he didn't just show us a bit of his mercy. He showed the fullness of his mercy. He was merciful towards you and I. And in the same way that we have received from God, and he has taken us out of where we were before we were saved, and he's brought us into this incredible life and relationship with God, with him, then he wants us to extend that same mercy, or being merciful, and that same compassion towards those that are around us. That there's no, we don't come with any sense of judgment or criticizing or haughtiness, that we know better. As we know, Jesus, didn't he? He came as a servant. He humbled himself and made himself nothing, which is the opposite to the world's way of doing things. But yet he calls us to humble ourselves and make ourselves as nothing in order for people to be lifted up, to receive God's mercy through a people of compassion, so that they can come into a relationship of love and a relationship of grace with God. Then as we just kind of follow it through, their sin has been paid for. Jesus has already paid for the sin of the town. Now this kind of stuff we know, but the people out there need to know. And I believe we need to give the Holy Spirit the space to do the convicting and the work in people's hearts. We just need to go being merciful and full of compassion and allow the Holy Spirit to do the convicting. We can't convince people they need to be saved. That conviction or convincing comes by the Holy Spirit. And the people out there, as I said, need to know that. Then let's have a look at verse 3. A voice of one calling. Now, God's speaking to the church, and this phrase that we use a lot, turning the church inside out. God is redefining the church and how it is and how it lives and to fulfill God's purpose and to see God's purposes on earth as they are in heaven. So God's turning the church inside out, so that we live mature. What do mature people do? Mature people realize that their lives are not just about themselves, but their lives are actually about other people. So when you're a teenager, I don't know if there are any teenagers in here, but when you're a teenager, generally your life is very centered around yourself and what you're doing. As God gets hold of people, doesn't have to be like that. But generally, you know, in a home, a young person doesn't look out the window to the back garden and look at the grass and say, grass is a bit long, it needs cutting, I better go and do it. You know, a young person doesn't generally go into the kitchen and say, well, there's loads of stuff on the side that needs washing up, I better do it. You know, okay, we want to train our kids. We want to teach them as they grow up that they do the washing up as well. We all do it together. There's hoovering, there's this, that, and the other. And we, you know, but generally, a young person in a home, when they're growing up, thinks, well, that's what my mum does that, or my dad does that, or my parents do that. I mean, or they wait to be asked because they don't think it's their responsibility. Because primarily their life is still around themselves, what they're doing, hanging out with their mates. I'm busy, I'm doing this, I've got my schedule for the weekend, see you later, mum. And, you know, you're catching up with where they are and what they're doing. But you can't live like that when you're 25, 30, 40, 50. You can't, well, somebody will do the hoovering. Somebody will cut the grass at some point. The place needs cleaning. Well, somebody will do that somewhere. And in many ways, the church has lived, not everybody, but generally, a lot of church lives like a teenager, where we enjoy a lot of stuff and we're on the receiving end of a lot of things, but we might not have got to that moment of maturity where we realise, actually, my life's not just about me, it's about a lot of other people as well. And I believe that God is wanting to mature the church, that we become parents. The church becomes like a parent that wants to reproduce and understands that as a parent, your life is not about you. It's now about and focused on these kids that you're raising, you're teaching, training, and all that involves. And it challenges, especially when your first one that comes along, it challenges, if we can use this word, your selfishness. It challenges, suddenly you've got to be up in the night, or suddenly you can't go out when you want to go out because your schedule's changed, the baby needs feeding, or we can't go out now because the baby's asleep. And there's things you used to do before you had kids that you were free to do. You had more time. You could do this, do that, and do the other. Once you have kids, then suddenly other things come into play. But you don't mind because you wanted the child. You wanted your kids. So it's a choice you've made. But so you want to raise these kids. You want them to become mature people. You want them to have a great life. And you want them to be, for us as Christians, you want them to be who God's called them to be and to live in everything God's got for them. But sometimes it's although you made a choice to be a parent, there are some challenges along the way that challenge your schedule, your lifestyle, your thinking and how you spend your money. But you made that choice, but actually there's a joy in it, but there can be a challenge. And I think, but unless sometimes those pressures are there, we tend to make the choice, well, I'll still give myself a bit of space and a bit of time and a bit. And I think in the church, there's a time now for harvest where the church has got to mature to say, we've got to live as parents now, not as teenagers. We've got to take responsibility and own the house as parents, not as teenagers, which is more of a consumer mentality. Can be in the natural. And so we want to be parents, understanding that our lives are not about ourselves. Our lives are about raising up a next generation. When I say that, it's not just an age group thing, okay? Because any person who gets saved is a new generation of believer in that sense. So it's not just about young people or children. And but it's, I'm here now not for myself. I've been saved 10 years or 15 years or 20 years. Wow, if you've been saved that long, you've got loads and loads to invest in some other people. And so there's a voice of one calling. What does it say? In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. It's brilliant that this building is right at the heart of Scarborough. It's fantastic that it is on the street that it is on. And you could say that this street would represent the wilderness or the desert because of some of the things that go on in this street or around this area or things that we know go on in any town. But what's he saying? In the desert, in the midst of all this lot, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. The whole kind of praise and worship, presence of God dynamic is what builds that highway right in the middle of a desert and right in the middle of a wilderness. In the church is not a desert. The church is not a wilderness. The church is a place that is full of life. It's a place where the Holy Spirit has been poured out and is being poured out. Therefore, the church, us, the people, not the building, but us, the people, we are full of this living water. We are full of the life of Jesus. We are full of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, in the midst of geographically where God has placed the building, but the building is, in one sense, represents where the people, the church, gather and maybe work out from missionally in terms of into the community. But it represents the establishing and the building of a highway. It represents the building of a straight way, a highway in the midst of where people need to hear, comfort, comfort my people. They need to know that their sin has been dealt with, that God's not angry with them. Because he knows they don't know any better. I love these next couple of verses, this next bit. It says, every valley shall be raised up. And I believe as I was reading this, just praying through this yesterday, that there are people in Scarborough that they're like in the valley of life. They're going through some tough stuff. And they feel at the bottom. They feel, they look up at other people's lives. They look out and have a certain view of how well they think everybody else is doing. Some wish they had a different life. because of how theirs is going. And they wish they could have a life that looked like the guy who's on the top of the mountain, thinking that his life would be better than mine. And if I just had this, if I just had that, if I just lived in another part of town, if I just had something else, I would have a better life. But yet, it says here, every valley shall be raised up. And God sees every person that's in a valley. And in terms of this highway being built, this highway, which is through worship, prayer, the whole spiritual life and dynamic that we have, that is a breakthrough highway. That's what it is. It's the breakthrough. It's not just to be a nice highway of the presence of God. It's to be a breakthrough kind of highway that is breaking new ground. That's establishing a way where there is not a way at this moment. And so that's why do we worship like we do? Because it's not just because we want to consume the presence of God more. It's because there's a highway being built. It's because there's something being prepared amongst the wilderness and in the desert that people are going to join. And how many of you know, the more cars on a highway, the bigger the highway needs to be. So we've got to make room for others. When Jesus talked about the narrow way, that doesn't mean the highway is just a narrow highway. It might be a narrow way in the sense of there is a way that God wants us to live, but there are many other ways that we can live. He's basically just saying there's only one way. That's why it's narrow, because there's one way. But that highway itself can be an incredibly huge highway for everybody who's coming in to be part of that highway going in the same direction. So that spiritual dynamic is developing the highway, the breadth and the length and how straight that thing is. So the worship, the prayer, everything we do spiritually, the word and all of that. Yes, it's to encourage us. Yes, it's to build us up. Yes, it's so that we continue to mature as believers. But we need to understand that all of that, even what we're doing right now, is developing this highway, building this highway. It's moving forward. It's not just a few hours with Clive and Jane from Sussex. This is about you guys in Scarborough and for this region, building a highway in the middle of a desert, in the middle of dry ground. So that more and more people can become part of what God is doing. Not just part of the church, so that we've got more numbers, but part of what God is doing on earth. So there's people in valleys that are going to be raised up. That are not going to then look at other people's lives and say, I wish I had that one. What they're going to become thankful for is God's given me his life and I'm thankful that I am who I am in God. And they might geographically still live where they are, but their perspective on life will be so different. They won't see themselves in a valley any longer, but they'll see themselves in a completely different way. There are scarred and wounded people out there that feel like they're in the pit or in the valley. And God wants us to go out onto the battlefield where there's scarred, wounded and people that have been left for dead. And he wants us to go out there and God wants to raise up a whole new army of people out of what some people have said, they're no good, they're no use, they're the bottom of the pile. But yet God is saying, no, that's the very battlefield that I've called you as a church, us as a church, as Christians, to be on the battlefield of life where people are scarred and bruised and in pain, have been left for dead. And they're the ones that God's saying, I'm going to raise them up out of this valley and they're going to be like an army of people and I'm going to totally do something that is impossible for man. Then it says, every mountain and hill will be made low. Now, there are some people that are in places of influence, places of power. They seem to be on the mountaintops because they control the purse strings. They make the decisions and they seem to have the influence. Yes, there can be some people that are in there for personal agendas and you could say they're proud or whatever. What I believe God's saying at this point is there are people in high places that are going to be part of this highway. God's not just going to reach those in a valley, those in desperation, those that feel like their life is going nowhere, but he's also going to reach those that seem to be in the natural top of the mountain or have everything going for them, have it made, and that there are some that God is going to pull down and bring down because they're proud, but there's some that are up there that he's going to save and they're going to be added into what God is doing also. And we're going to have those in the valleys and those on the mountaintops together in on this highway together, this highway of holiness or whatever you want to call it. But they're going to be together on this highway. Because what does God say? In the next part, the rough ground should become level. God is a brilliant leveler. In the world, there's hierarchy, isn't there? But yet in the church, there isn't hierarchy. In the church, God levels everything. So no matter what background, what history, what nationality, what race, what experience, whatever's happened, whatever, it doesn't matter what people's personal credentials are, abilities they have, letters after their name or no letters after their name. The amazing thing about the church, about the body of Christ on earth, is you could have somebody with PhD sitting next to somebody who's got seams in the naps, have nothing, it's just come off drugs, yet they're friends. And one's not, you know, lording it over another or thinks he's better than the other, but yet they're brothers or their sisters or their brothers and sisters or whatever in Christ, because God's a great leveler. I love that, don't you? And the world, you know, what is that like? That's being free from the pressure of the world, of having to perform and having to be and having to do. I know God places all of us in different spheres of life. And he puts different giftings and abilities in each one of us to do whatever he's called us to do and to be wherever he's called us to be. And he anoints us to be where we are in whatever season of life that we're in. And he wants us to be effective and fruitful in those places, in our jobs, in our work life, but also in the way we reach people and what God does through our lives in those spheres, as well as what we do as a church together, reaching the community in different ways. There's also what God does through your life to touch somebody else's life. And so God, you know, but you know, when God does a number on you, you know, when you give your life to Jesus, you don't view your life from the perspective of my titles or my qualifications or, you know, this is my position in society or in my work world. You have a different way because you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have a different way of thinking, different perception. Therefore, even when you're at work, the way you look at all the guys in or other people in your the people, wherever you work, your business or your company or whatever place you are in or whatever you're doing in your life, the way you see people is so different. Some people might work for you. Maybe you work for somebody else. There are bosses, there are whatever. But your perspective is different. Yes, they might have roles and titles, but how you are towards them is you treat them all equal. Now, you might have to treat, you know, I understand the work world and you got to, you know, there's certain protocols that you have to, but your heart and your attitude towards somebody you might work for you or you have responsibility or they're accountable to you, you don't treat them, you know, any less than your boss in terms of your heart attitude, the way you speak to them, all of that, because God's a great leveler. And the church is the only place on the planet where there is that true, I don't know what to call it, oneness, agreement, unity, peace, place where people don't have to strive to be something. It's the only true place where that is real for people. The people who feel it in the bottom of the valley, to actually feel honoured, respected, listened to, involved, in part of something, included. That's massive for some people. Every mountain and hill will be made low. The rough ground shall become level. There's some tough stuff, rough people out there, but God can level them. God can sort them. I don't mean he's going to level them in a, well, I'll sort him out. But he's going to level their lives out. The stuff that they've been through and the things that are happening, he's going to deal with it. And the rugged places become a plain. It's like this road. Whatever reputation it has had, that reputation, I don't know if you know it's already changing or not. You know, so actually, there's a fulfillment of these verses happening right now, that God is changing the reputation of this street or this part of town or whatever because of what is happening. Therefore, God is leveling out the rough ground. He is making the rugged places a plain. He's smoothing some things out. If you're going to build a highway, you've got to level the ground out, right? And that's what happens in the spirit. The leveling out of things, the flattening out of things, the breaking through, all of that happens in the spirit. That happens in prayer. That happens in the worship. Yes, we can connect with people, build relationships. And so sometimes the relationships we build look like that is the thing that is leveling the ground. But really, those good relationships and favour with the council or with other business people or others in the town, it's because of the spiritual activity that is going on, the favour of God there. That's why there's good favour in relationships in that way. So it's just understanding how God works in that sense. I love the next verse, though. And the glory, or the revealed nature of the Lord, or the glory of the Lord will be revealed. His nature, who he is, will be revealed. And all mankind, everybody in Scarborough together, will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So increasingly, the people in Scarborough are going to see this God seems to be on everybody. It seems to be more and more kind of spoken about, talked about, on the agenda of what's going on. We got a magazine in Horsham called All About Horsham. And there's a couple of guys that, they're not saved, a couple of guys that do this magazine. One's a photographer and the other one is the writer. And they produce this thing every month. And they I think it was about a year, 15 months ago, they both gave up their jobs to do this full time. And it's a free magazine that goes into about 75-80% of the homes in Horsham at the moment. And they're just, as it builds and they get more advertising in it and some sponsorship, they want to get into every home. It's a free thing. But I think somebody said to me the other day that there's been an article either about the church or somebody in our church every other month in that magazine for about the last year, or just over a year. So they've done, I think, two features on the church. They've done a whole 5 or 6 page spread on Pastor Colin in this current one, because he's been in ministry for 50 years. And that, the guy who writes it thought it was amazing that somebody would even be a Christian that long, you know, let alone do what he's been doing for 50 years and still going strong. So they did this whole sort of blurb on him and everything. And then they've done articles on all sorts of things. And somebody said to me the other day, they should rename that magazine and say All About Kingdom Faith, not All About Horsham. But this, the guy who writes it, they love the church. They've said to us, look, if you've got anything that you think it would be good for an article, let us know and we'll come and do it and stick it in the magazine. You know, and so the good report that goes out, we know there's other reports about the church and you hear some other stuff going around, but yet somebody is writing and putting in a magazine that goes into most people's homes every month, and they're writing, I mean, their general philosophy is we want to say lots of positive stuff about what it's like to live in Horsham. So they have a very positive spin on everything. And he said to us just over a year ago, he did an article on the church, 10-page article he did, and photos, all sorts of things. And he said to us then, he said, oh, what we're going to do every month is we're going to do an article on a different church in the town every month. I'm like, okay. So, but we thought we'd start with you guys, and you can be the first one, but we're going to do a church every month. As far as I'm aware, in the last year, they haven't done anything like that on any other church in the last year. It's only been ours, and then ours keeps cropping up every other month and in different ways. And so, and you're like, well, God, that's your favour. That's a good report going out. And it's always reporting. And it talks about what God is doing. It doesn't just say this is what the church is doing. It's like, as a result of this, and this. And there's a good report. So we couldn't pay to advertise what God's doing in a way that these blokes are doing it. And we've had people coming to the church as a result, coming out during the week, or some people turn up on a Sunday to find out what is all this about and who are you and everything else. But it's all part of, in our town, and then same here in Scarborough, that all of mankind together will see it. And I believe it's a personal conviction or whatever, I don't know, but that God is bursting the bubble of soapbox Christianity. We're not here just to tell everybody what's wrong with the world and where it's all going wrong and everything, but we're here to be salt and light. We're here to bring out the flavour of who Jesus is and let people taste him for who he is, and then let them make a decision in response to what the Holy Spirit does to follow him, to choose him, rather than us telling them when everything's going wrong and we're right and everything. So we're in a new day, we're in a new time. And it's exciting what's happening. There's lots of things going on around the country at this moment, some really good stuff. God is turning the church inside out. There are more things happening on the streets. We were in Hull with Jared at his conference over the last couple of days. It's interesting how there's lots of stuff going on in the meetings, powerful miracles, all of that kind of stuff. But some of the stories, chatting to people, and people that weren't just in Jared's church, people from other places, had little conversations with them, they're talking about what God's doing on the streets in their towns. The healings, people coming to Christ on the streets. And there's more and more of that going on. And I think it's brilliant. You know, we did a leaders session yesterday afternoon at this conference, and this lady came up to me at the end, and she said, in our church, we're seeing people healed on the streets, getting saved on the streets, and we're going out every week praying for the sick and seeing things happen. And every Sunday, we're giving reports. Somebody's giving stories of what God is doing. And I'm like, brilliant, you know. She said, yeah, but we've got a group of people in the church get really upset and offended about it, and they're trying to be negative about it. What do I do? I said, well, what do you think? She said, what do you mean? What should you do? And she said, well, what do we do? And I said, just keep giving good reports. Keep going out in the street. Keep praying for the sick. Well, what do I do with them? I said, well, have a chat with them. And I asked them why they're getting upset, why they're getting offended. And so we had a bit of a chat about that. But it was just every week we're going out. And she said, we've got 100 people in our church, but we're going out. We're just excited. It's like God's doing something totally new. A bunch of people went out yesterday lunchtime who were at the conference. So there's some guys from Jared's church who took them out. But they saw somebody who was deaf, got their hearing back out on the streets. Somebody got out of a wheelchair on the streets. They led some people to the Lord out on the streets. So it's like, it's good, isn't it? So we're living in something now that we've been wanting for a long time. We're living in days that we've been praying for. We just got to remember that we're not looking for a feeling. Sometimes when you think about something, you think it's going to feel a certain way when you get there. Or you think it's going to be a certain way when you get there. But it's not, quite often. You still are you. You still have to shower and put deodorant on. You still have to get dressed and wear normal clothes. You find that when God's moving, you're not hovering 2 feet off the ground, because the Holy Spirit's working in a new way. And it's like, wow, what will that be like when we're seeing people healed on the streets? It's going on now all around the country. People are getting healed. People are coming to Christ in Scarborough, in other towns, in Horsham, Crawley, Worthing, where we are. In the last few weeks, we've seen loads of people healed out on the streets through different things we've been doing over the last few weeks in terms of missional stuff out on the streets. Some amazing stuff. Because now's the time. And it's happening through everyday people like you and me. It's good, isn't it? God's bringing people out of the valleys. He's bringing people from the mountaintops and all walks of life. And he's bringing them together. Building a highway. A highway of holiness. It doesn't say that in there, but that's what it is. It's a highway of holiness. And it's a narrow way, but it's a broad highway to fit a lot of people on it. So we're in exciting days, exciting times. You might not feel anointed. You might not look anointed sometimes. Other times you do feel anointed and you do look anointed sometimes. But it's not about all of that. It's God just taking hold of ordinary people like us and doing extraordinary things through them. And as you're making yourself available for what God does, then supernatural things happen, don't they? So there's a favour on you as a church. What does God's favour do? It changes people. Daniel resolved not to defile himself. And he went to the chief official of the king. And he said, I don't want to eat all the wine and the rich foods from the king's table. I just want the vegetables and water because of what it all represented. And the guy said, I can't do that. He'll have my head. But he says, because of the favour of God, the chief official basically changed his mind and did something that he wouldn't normally do. And that's the kind of thing that we're going to see an increase of because of the favour of God, resolving in our hearts. We want to live in a certain way that honours God. But you could say it not to defile ourselves, but if we turn that around, we want to live in a way that we want to honour God in the way that we are as individuals and together. And the favour of God comes on people in a stronger and stronger way, an increasing way, when we choose to live like that. And God begins to change people's minds. He opens up doors of opportunity. He leads us into situations that you could never strategize or plan in a meeting. God gives strategy and plans, absolutely. But how they unfold as you walk in them is down to God to do on the way. And when you look back, you think, well, if we hadn't have taken that step, we'd never have got to here seeing God do that. Because back there, we didn't see it would work out like that. But we had to take that step of faith and let's go that way. And then God begins to unlock and release what he wants to do. And that's the same for us personally or together as a body of people. So I just want to pray, if that's all right. And then we'll see where we go from here. But I just want to pray for you guys. And but just I want to read this before you stand up for a moment. And just pray this over the church for a moment. But this is the heart that God is developing in you. This is the heart that God is growing in you as a church. This kind of heart. Comfort my people, says your God. God's raising you up as a people to be to comfort the people of Scarborough. People feel like they're being battered by the storms of life and they need a place, an oasis. They need a place where they can be comforted, where they can be healed, where they can be made whole. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Scarborough and proclaim to her that our hard service has been completed and that her sin has been paid for. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Spirit that rests upon this house, this church. Father, I thank you for the cultivating that goes on every week to be a people of habitation, a place where you abide and remain. Father, I thank you that the heart here is for so much more than just a visitation. But it's to be a people of habitation. And Father, I just thank you that you rest upon the church here in an increasing way. And I thank you that when you have habitation amongst a group of people, that when somebody lives somewhere, then they walk in that place. And I thank you with Adam and Eve, you walked with them in the cool of the day because it was your garden. You lived there. And so, Father, I thank you in this place, in this church, not the building, but in the people, I thank you, Father, that as there are people of habitation, I thank you that you walk with them, amongst them, and through them. I thank you that that means more than just your presence being experienced, but it is more about the revealed nature of who you are at work amongst the people. And Father, I thank you that it's that at the end of these verses we've been looking at that you're talking about, that your revealed nature is what is seen. And that looks like mercy. It looks like compassion. It looks like freedom. It looks like healing. It looks like people being delivered and set free. Thank you that your glory, your revealed nature is tangible. That it looks like people being made whole. And Father, I thank you for the anointing right now of your Spirit that rests upon this house, the people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way that we spent some time on our own, and some of what Jane shared was about Yahweh kneels before us. That's quite a challenge to our understanding of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. That scripture means He kneels before us. It's quite a humbling action that He does for us. But in the same way that He kneels before us to give us gifts and then to do all the things that He said, it's like God calls us then to go and do the same for those that don't know Him. God wants every person in here to be a parent. To raise up sons and daughters. Some might be from the valley. Some might be from the mountaintop. Others from the rough places or the tough places. Doesn't matter where they're from. Doesn't matter what kind of people you're growing, raising up, discipling, whatever word you want to use. Just make yourself available in a fresh way today. Ask Him to mature you. Father, mature me. So that I live like a parent, looking out for what's going on in the house and what needs doing. Not just the practical jobs, but the people, who we're reaching, who needs help, who needs discipling, who needs whatever they need. Father, I thank you. Just for your heart this afternoon or today, just being expressed on the inside of us at this moment. That you want us to be a people of comfort, a people who speak tenderly, a people who proclaim. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's quite a gentle feel to today, isn't there, really? But yet, how many of you know the Holy Spirit is the gentle giant? So he can be gentle, but also he is powerful, strong. But yet, it's just the way God wants to do stuff today. And we're not trying to rah-rah up some enthusiasm or rah-rah just to do things in our own strength or with our own, in our own power. It's like God saying, no, you're going with my heart, with my compassion. That you see people how I do. You see them as lost. You see them as needing my mercy. You see them needing compassion. When you look through eyes of mercy, it's because you see the need, not the outward, but what is happening on the inside. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are preparing a highway through what's going on here, not just today, but here in this church, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Paul, just believe God's going to give you some battle plans. Some things that are going to take you forward in a more effective way. Or to add to what he's doing, but to make things more effective, give you some battle plans. And some of that, there'll be some strategy in it. Some of that will be how to prepare, in quotes, the troops. But the battle plan's always, when you have a battle plan, it's always what ground are we going to take, what bridgeheads are we going to establish, and if we execute this battle plan, where is it supposed to get us to? And I believe God's going to speak to you and give you some plans, some things that you know you're going to know from him. You might have already started to sketch them out in your, for you already, but some steps, some things that you know are going to take you forward as a church into a greater effectiveness and fruitfulness in different ways. And as you seek to walk in those, the favour of men is going to continue to increase towards you in particular. And as a result of that, that's going to open up more opportunities for others, as it already has done, for others to step into some things. But there's a particular favour and grace on you as you lead the church, that the favour of God's going to go before you to bring people to you. Just believe there's I don't know how many, there's probably just a couple, two or three relationships that you've got already that you call more acquaintances, and you might have even used that word. I've got an acquaintance with those people, but you don't, and I believe that's they're going to move from being acquaintances to relationship. Because they see, and even though they might not get it in their own heads, they see that the church, in their minds, we need the church involved in this. We need to build relationship with the church. And they might not understand what the church is all about, what it does. They'll just know in their heart and their mind, we've got to connect with the church because of what the church is already doing. And I believe there's some acquaintances that are going to become relationships, which will become, for you, a place of influence. In the same way that Daniel, as he just took the steps that God said, he ended up being the prime minister or whatever, he ended up running the nation, interpreting dreams and all of that kind of stuff. And it's that kind of thing. As you take the steps that God speaks to you, you'll end up in places and positions that you've already been surprised, one or two things you've been involved in, but there's some other things on another level that are more regional, as well as Scarborough, the local. There's more regional stuff God's going to start opening up. So, Father, I thank you for the apostolic grace that rests on this church. And I thank you for that favour. I believe you're going to end up in some situations where, like Paul did, where they had all the gods around, but they had an empty space where they said to an unknown God. And I believe you're going to end up, you're going to find yourself in some places where you're just going to be giving the gospel. Because actually that's what's needed in the situation. You're going to be telling them about the unknown God as far as they're concerned. And in the same way that there were in that situation for Paul the Apostle, in the same way that he had some political people, some more philosophers, some thinkers and some people in influence started to follow Jesus, you're going to have the same thing. That as you explain to people this unknown God to them, that they're going to begin to follow him, but you're going to become their spiritual leader, pastor, whatever. They might not come to this church because of the regional thing initially, but you're going to become like their spiritual leader or pastor or whatever. So, Father, I thank you just for the mantle that rests upon Paul and Kate as the leaders of the church here and the work here. Father, I thank you for the apostolic grace that rests on them. Kate, I just believe that God is... I don't know if Kate's in here. Is she somewhere? In there. You can hear me in there. Just believe that it's like God's placing his hand on your head right now. And there's two parts to this. One is he's placing his hand on your head now with fresh anointing. And there's a mantle of leadership that is on your life. And there's an anointing to lead, to preach with an authority. And the things that God gives you to preach, sometimes you're thinking, this isn't the usual thing, or this is what most people wouldn't preach. And God gives you some angles on things that you think, this is a bit unusual. But he's giving you the angles because when you preach and you release what he gives you in relation to the anointing and the authority that is on your life, in those moments, there is breakthrough in people's lives. In those moments, people that are in all kinds of stuff get set free. We know they get set free by the truth, but the truth has to be spoken and declared. And it's like God's releasing a fresh mantle of authority and anointing on your life. As you lead and as you speak, there's a greater release of breakthrough, of overcoming the enemy in situations. But also, I believe God's laying his hand on you right now, and there's stuff that he's doing in your body physically. There's like some corrections that he's making right now in your body physically. Father, I thank you right now for those corrections, the readjustments that you're making in Kate's body right now. We just speak those into being in the name of Jesus. Just speak to the organs in your body. Total health and well-being right now in Jesus' name. I can see like God's hand on your head right now. I just believe it's not, that's why I haven't said, can you come in here and I can lay hands on you. I believe God's laying his hand on you. Thank you, Jesus. There's some reconstruction of cells in your body. There's been a lot of fragmentation in the cells in your body, and that's weakened certain things. Your immune system isn't what it could be, but God's sorting out some cells in your body. That's going to change the effectiveness of your immune system. Father, I thank you for healing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. That reconstruction now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. There's other stuff that he's doing. You know, there's probably names for things. I don't know what they are, but just believe God's doing more than just what I've said in your body right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Also, Kate, there's a joy. There's a mantle of joy upon your life that you feel over slightly more recent kind of times, and you know, not to do with the illness side of things or whatever, that you're healed, you're whole and all of that. But yet there's a joy. It's like a double portion of it that God's releasing. I don't know whether you felt under the weather in different ways, but it's like there's a joy now. Just fresh, you know, that's going to affect the whole church. And it's going to help to just bring a whole nother degree of freedom and liberty and life into the church because of the joy that is upon you. And there's certain pressures that I believe you've felt you've been under in different ways. And it's like God's lifting off that pressure. And you're going to be able to laugh in the face of it and be joyful in it and over it rather than sometimes feeling under it. So Father, I thank you for that. The oil of joy that is upon Kate and what that releases into the lives of everybody part of the church here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brian, I just believe, mate, there's a grace on your life for the rough and the ready. And that some of the verses we read out about the rough ground being made, your heart was like, that's what I want to see. The rough stuff. Some of those, the people like that, God, they're the sort of people I want to see smoothed out, sorted out. There's a grace on your life for some of these kind of people and to disciple them. And to begin to gather, as some guys get saved, particularly blokes, you're going to find there's a whole bunch of guys that begin to gather, and they're going to come from all the rough end of things in terms of what they've been into and the kind of people they are. But yet God's going to smooth them out, and he's going to use you and work through your life to do that. But there's a grace for it. And those people, they might not know the word, but they're going to see there's something where they want to be connected to you. They want to be around you. And sometimes you might feel, well, I'm not rough and tough like those sort of people are, but that's all right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. That you're at work. Just as we're sitting receiving from him, some of you just need to receive your healing right now. Sometimes healing's in a wham bam kind of thing. Other times it's literally just receiving like this. Just believe there's somebody here, you've had a blood disorder. And that's really affected the flow of the blood circulating around you, your body, the viscosity of the blood. And just believe that God is healing you right now. You've been taking a bit of medication to try and change the viscosity so the blood flows more easily around your body. But God's just doing a work in you now, and he's just changing the viscosity of your blood. It's a miracle, basically. Only pills can help. There's no cure for it in the natural, but yet God is realigning your blood so that it flows correctly around your body. Father, I thank you that you're just touching that person. I believe it's a lady, and that's just happening in your body right now. Thank you, Father. you know you need to receive from him, just take hold of it now. Just receive from him. Thank you, Jesus, that you're my healer. Thank God, just receive my healing. Thank you, Jesus. Your hand at work right now in people's bodies. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody, I believe in your left ear, you've had that ringing. I always call it the wrong thing. It's not tetanus, is it? What's it called? Tinnitus. That's it. Tinnitus. Not tetanus. That would hurt. Tinnitus in your... particularly in your left ear, just that ringing, that noise and all of that, that God's just dealing with that right now. Perforated kind of eardrum that you've had, that God's just touching your ear right now. Thank you for that ringing stopping now. No more hearing deficiencies and hassles. Sometimes being in the meeting, your ears have been hurting, or particularly your left one, and God's just healing that, relieving you of that infirmity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've had a gum infection for a little while, and God's just dealing with that. Just some of the infection, aches and pains you've had in your gums for various reasons. Well, God's healing you. So we just speak health into your gums right now, in Jesus' name. I believe you've had to have one or two teeth taken out at some point because of that issue. But God's just doing a work in your gums now where they're healthy and whole. No more bleeding, no more infections. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you have just in the glands, in your neck, just under your chin, your jawbone, your glands have been giving you some issues for various reasons, and I believe God's just touching you right now. I don't know if it's been an aspect of some kind of glandular fever and some other glands in your body, but God's just relieving you now from those symptoms that have been primarily under, you know, in your neck, but there's other glands in your body. He's just relieving you of that infirmity now. We just speak healing in Jesus' name into your body. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Wherever you're sitting, just take hold of what is yours from him. Just take hold of your healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just begin to thank him for what he's doing in your body. Thank him for relieving you of infirmity, relieving you from pain, relieving you from the diagnosis that has been spoken over your life. We just break that off your life right now in Jesus' name. That diagnosis does not stand. It is not the final word and say over your life. And we just give you a new diagnosis. Wherever you're sitting, if you've had a diagnosis of something, we just correct that diagnosis right now. And we replace that with you are healed in Jesus' name. You are free from that infirmity. You are free from that sickness. You are free from that disease. You are free from whatever it is right now. Father, I thank you that you, one or two small lumps in somebody's body, you like microsurgery in those out of the body. You're just burning those up right now. A couple of small lumps. I believe you've been to the doctors and they're not cancerous, but there are a couple of lumps that are just there. And the doctor said, well, just leave them. They won't, you know, you'll be all right and everything. But you've been like, I don't really want them there. And it's like God's just removing those things now. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you love just to minister to us. You love just to give to us, to bless us, to lavish yourself upon us. Father, I thank you as you lavish yourself upon us, then in turn, we can lavish who you are onto one another and to others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're brilliant. You're amazing. You're wonderful. If you know God's been doing something in your body, you can just raise your hand. If you know you've given a few words out, what was up with you? It's all gone. Brilliant. So you're all free from that. Great. Some of the other guys I just gave some words for. Other things. Where are you in the room? Who's had the blood thing? You've had a bit of the viscosity of your blood is... Okay. Do you know, I mean... Right. Okay, you mean as it's okay before you came, or... Okay, all right. Cool. Some of the other things, I can't remember what they are now, but... Lumps. Who's had a couple of small little lumps? I don't want to embarrass anybody. You have. Do you know if they're gone? Sorry, is that... If it's gone down a bit, yeah? Okay. We'll have the rest of that, eh? Yeah. Totally down. Thank you, Jesus. Any other ones? What else should I say? Oh, the tinnitus thing in the ear. Who's had the ringing in the ear? Okay, is that gone? Still ringing. Okay. Who's had that before and they haven't got it anymore? Has anybody had that kind of thing before and now it's gone? Right, and that's just gone now in the last few minutes. Right, brilliant. Yeah. Right, brilliant. Can you just get together and just pray for... Sorry, what's your name? Mike. You pray for Mike and just sort his ear out. Is that okay? And then sort him out. The gums. Who had the gum stuff going on? I don't want to embarrass anybody, obviously, but... You got a friend with that problem. Okay. All right. Is there anybody else here with that one? You haven't got any issue now. Okay. All right. Does your mate, does he have the same, those symptoms, bleeding and... Has he had any teeth out as a result? You just messaged him, have you? Cool. Is he part of the church? Yeah, cool. Maybe we can pray for him. Pray for him then. Great. Brilliant. It's really gentle today, isn't it? It's not like me normally, but anyway. You've got to submit, eh? Right, what we'll do for a few minutes is... do you want a quick 10-minute refresh? Do you want yes or no? Or because what we're going to do, we're just going to share for a few minutes. Take 15 minutes, then we'll come back. And we'll just share for a bit, the last half an hour. Just some of the stuff going on in Kingdom Faith, just some sort of heads up stuff that's going on, really, so that you're in the picture. Just stuff about Israel, what's happening there, and some other things going on. Dan Saf. And is that okay? That'd be brilliant. All right, so grab a chai latte. You know it's the best drink out there.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.